Friends, I'm going to be talking about staffing, a very important function in Principles of Management, Chapter 8. As a matter of fact, staffing forms the backbone of any organizational effectiveness. All of you know, it's people who make or break an organization. It's people who make or break an organization. You may buy the best of technology. You may have the best of machinery. You may have the best of materials being bought. You may have all the money in the world. You may have very good processes set, but if the staffing is not proper, then the whole organization goes for a toss. There are innumerable examples about companies where the staffing has not been properly taken care of. So we'll discuss about the various aspects of staffing. At the same time, I'll give you some insights about, you know, why staffing goes wrong. Why staffing goes wrong? Why is it that we don't get the right people for the right job? Okay, so let's take the slide further. Staffing involves human resources management and ensures the right person for the right job. As a matter of fact, staffing is a terminology that we are using in Principles of Management as one of the seven processes. From staffing is derived a separate approach, a separate discipline, which is very detailed and specialized today, which is called as human resources management. So HRM is derived from the staffing process of Principles of Management, right? Now, it includes processes such as manpower planning, recruitment, selection, training and development, okay, promotion and compensation of the personnel and many more things. In short, anything and everything to do with the man, with the person, with the human being, man as a resource, it's taken care of under this particular heading called staffing. Who's going to do this job? What sort of background he needs to have? What qualifications he needs to have? Not only paper qualifications. Does he have the proper type of an attitude? That was not actually talked about ages ago. Today we talk about that also. Very crucial, very important. Does he have adequate learning capacity? Is he a person who's generative in learning newer skills as and when the demand comes in? Is he a person who's promising and making the promise happen in terms of results? So everything is centered around the human resource. Because human resource ultimately makes or breaks the organization, right? And it's very important and it's often the most neglected function, unfortunately. Let me give some insights to you from experience and what we see around. As a trainer, as a consultant, some insights and experiences which I have seen down the line at the middle management level and also the senior level. While all organizations are well-intentioned and they would like to have the right person for the right job, they create blueprints, they make beautiful job spec sheets, but many organizations fail in implementing it because of certain reasons. There's a disconnect in communication between what the vision is. If you remember in the first chapter, I talked about the vision, the mission, etc. Second chapter rather. If the vision is very clear cut that this is what we want to do, it's translated in the form of a mission, the how and why of it, and then it goes down the line through strategies, objectives and goals, then we know that to fulfill the vision, we have got to have such type of people. Unfortunately, in many organizations, there's a disconnect between what has been created as a mission statement and the objectives which are coming down to departmental levels. And at the time of hiring, at the time of recruiting, selecting people, there's a disconnect between what the organization has originally stood for and what is it actually doing today. The reasons are many. It could be the pressures of competitiveness, competition. It could be the disconnect between what you walk and you talk. People who do not walk, they talk. It is nice to say, you know, be honest, be integrated. But when you actually don't do it, when you dilute your values, then these things are bound to happen. The organization top management may say that, you know, we care for people, but the caring is not seen in action. We want the right person for the right job, but it's not being done because of the reason that they want people urgently. They have gone along and committed to the customer that we are going to get this project done. Many, many areas where you can find these lacuna. So this is not to get critical about organizations. This is just to throw some light as to this particular malady, this particular illness of getting the wrong person into the organization forcing him, inverted commas, into working, and then, you know, not getting the proper output, either he leaves or you sack him. It's common in every organization today, unfortunately. Practically all organizations. Instead of nurturing him, instead of raising him, remember, we call him human resources. They are treated like human cost. At the time when the organization is going through a bad period, recession, at the time when it is going through a type of a downslide due to some reasons, internal or external or both, the first thing that comes to people's mind, especially labor intensive industries, is to hack out people numbers, disposing them off by giving them the so called golden handshake or VRS or whatever, is something which I do not subscribe as a trainer, as a person who sees a larger picture. Because if I have taken more people than necessary, it means that there has been some expectations which are beyond my boundaries of realistic goals. If I have augmented them incrementally, then it's a different reason altogether. But what we see about organizations is they grow, they spread like virus. Permit me to use the word, they are very greedy about growth. Ambition is okay, but when you get greedy, you go out of bounds of rationality. And so when this thing happens, there's a very strong likelihood that people are actually losing out on the importance of the human resource. This is my study, my reading, and what I've seen in many organizations where I train and consult. Right? Now, by saying that, I'm not getting critical or negative about anything. I'm just giving you the panorama, the thing that is actually happening. If only we realize that we have to preserve the human resources who made profits for us at one point of time, at the times when even things are not okay, it adds a lot of dimension. The reasons are many. The most important reason is a happy employee creates a happy society. Because when I'm happy with my company preserving me, then my home is also happy. When the home is happy, my society where I live, the society where I interact as a householder, is also very happy. Think about it. You may not buy my idea, but the point is, at the end of the day, this is seen to be one of the maladies in many, many advanced countries also, where you find the laying off of people in numbers has been the order of the day. So there's one section of thinking, school of thinking that says layoff is okay. It's a profit venture. If profits don't come, if business doesn't come, throw out people. Fair enough as far as that logic is concerned. The other logic is, did you think about your goals properly? Did you go beyond the boundaries of sustainable ambition? Did you become too greedy? Did you do your forecasting properly? Did you plan properly? Did you organize your resources properly? Trust me, these things are not done down the line when we are into continuous business, continuous profits coming in. You know, people don't give a thought to this. This is given a backseat. And then when things go wrong, among other resources which we cut down, this is one resource where a major thing happens. So there are two schools of thoughts. Both the thoughts are prevailing with each other. Both have to be integrated. If you ask me, what the thought A says is not wrong from what thought B says either. Now we have to understand how judiciously we have to run the companies. I can give you one more input based on my experiences with companies where I work. Is that organizations which are growing very gradually create a lot of contentment among the people. They make considerably good amount of profits in the industry to which they belong. They're technologically driven and they make their resources manageable. Not too greedy, at the same time they are ambitious in growing. To my mind, growth has to become pretty gradual. It has to become great. There has to be growth every year, but not to the extent to which you disrupt the manpower, the people in the organization itself. This is something which I wanted to share with you while I was discussing this particular topic. Okay, friends. Now, these are the various things we talk about as far as staffing is concerned. Manpower planning for how many people to be taken in the organization, when, in what numbers, what qualifications, what levels. Recruitment and selection, two different processes which we'll be discussing down the line. Training and development, promotion and compensation of the personnel. Okay. And although it's a very important, it's very important, it is often the most neglected function, the staffing function. Taking it further, out of the four M's, men, machine, materials and money, man is a living entity which thinks, discriminates, has judgment, has knowledge and develops wisdom. He is a person around whom all the other resources revolve. If he makes it, the organization makes it. If he breaks it, the organization breaks it. Right? He adds more and more value over a period of time after getting experience, which means it is the only resource because it's living resource. Year after year, it starts appreciating in its value, its content. That's the reason why experienced people, when we go to look for a new job, we get paid more because the value is high. Okay, unlike other resources which get depreciated or converted into other forms, right? He appreciates with the use of time. He appreciates with the use of time, right? Taking it further, very few organizations understand the people, that people have to be developed and maintained in the company. Now, development is something very tricky for people to understand. What is development? If I put you in a company for 5 or 8 years, and then, you know, I make you grow up in the up the ladder. From an executive, I make you into a senior manager, a senior executive, then a deputy manager and manager, giving a designation and kicking you up the ladder of the organization is not about development. Development is all about the person's contribution to the organization in terms of his new behavior generation is what is development. Are we consciously investing in the development of our manpower? Are we consciously empowering them to change their behaviors willingly to the needs of the growth of the organization? Development is an ongoing process. And development is something that cannot be captured in a timetable alone. You have a training timetable, you send people for so many hours of training in a year. That's not development. Development is something much more than that. It has a lot of involvement and engagement from the top management. First and foremost, there should be a caring culture. Second is, we must identify who are the golden nuggets in the organization who having potential in them and learn to develop them. We come across leadership development programs in many companies where they spot existing managers who are very successful, who have got the right attitude, and they learn to develop them. Right? Now, if the company is in a crisis situation, the first knee-jerk reaction is felt on human beings. Is it not a fact? I've already explained to you. When the company goes through a downslide, and it happens for 1, 2, 3 years, the first thing that happens is remove people. Okay? Are we not considering human beings as resources? When we go to work, we are not sure if we will stay in the job or we'll get removed from there. Is it true? In today's scenario, yes. This is not a comment about organizations at all. It's not to say that organizations are bad or something. It is just that the scenario is such that somewhere we are missing out on trying to look for the right person by a very careful, clear-cut thinking. If you recall my inputs in the chapter 1, I talked about nature of management. I did make a mention, which I'm repeating again now, is that if within me there is a clarity of thought, which is a part of my habit, I learn to manage my resources within me continuously, then my self-growth is assured. Now, when such a person makes it a habit to be clear in his thinking and he knows how to convert chaos into clarity, then he would not be doing what happens here. If we are nurturing ourselves into self-growth so that when the going gets tough, we are still able to think clearly and arrive at the root cause and solve it there and then things become different. Very few leaders are falling in this category. Most of the leaders get drawn into the group emotion. They are ruled by what is called a social psychology. Group of people say something, everybody follows it, and there's a big hue and cry, and then there are conferences, seminars and all, and people talk a lot about it, that this is going to happen to this industry, this is going to happen to that industry. One industry lays off, another industry follows suit, it goes on. Not that they're wrong or right, I'm just analyzing, I'm just giving an objective view. Look into it. But in the same chaotic situation, we do come across one or two companies who stay still and then they also prosper. Who said that chaos outside has to lead to chaos inside? If there's a chaos outside, I can still have clarity, encash on the chaos as an opportunity and not a threat. So, coming back to this, business cycles keep happening up and down, but it is improper to kick the people out. A very strong word has been used here, right? Staffing is the process involved in identifying, assessing, placing, evaluating and directing individuals at work. Staffing function is concerned with the placement, growth and development of all those members of the organization whose function is to get things done through the efforts of other individuals. Okay, it's a group activity. We've got an organization chart, we've got levels and span of management, and as we descend levels, we delegate work, get things done from others, as much as people above us get things done from us. So it's all about a group activity wherein it's like follow the leader. And then when we go down the line, all the tasks which is strategic in nature, conceptual in nature, operational in nature, all are taken care of, right? Taking it further, what are the elements of staffing? What does it comprise? It comprises effective recruitment selection, right person for the right job, proper classification of personnel and pay fixed to them, fitment through placements, right person for the right job, right man or the right woman for the right job, adequate and appropriate training for development. So when people join a company, they come with certain skills and background. Are they ready to take off in the job that has been assigned to them? So certain amount of training I need to give. The initial training I give is what is called as orientation and induction. I take the person inside, make him or her familiar with the atmosphere of the company, the climate and the culture of the company, and then get them feel comfortable and then take off by giving them on the job coaching. That's a form of a training wherein the person is aligned to the goals for which he has been taken, right? And then we have satisfactory and fair transfer and promotion. Okay, transfers and promotions are an important part of organization working. Transferring to another function within the same vertical is transfer. Promotion is going upwards in terms of higher responsibilities and authority. Sound relationship between management and workers is very essential. When we say workers, we mean staff also, not only production, not only manufacturing units, and then adequate policy and provision for retirement. So there's a whole gamut of things which we do in HRM, starting from manpower planning right up to the separation process. So all those things which we are doing, which is centering around the human being, the manpower resource in the organization, is coming under what we call it as staffing, right? The objectives, first is manpower planning. So the short-term manpower planning may achieve the objectives of the company at the present conditions, and the long-term manpower planning should be concerned with the estimation of staff members required in the future. Very simple, we have a large organization or a small organization. At the end of the day, every organization, large or small, should learn how to do manpower planning. Now, manpower planning is very tricky, especially when we're talking about huge numbers. When I'm doing a manpower planning, it's not about just numbers. Let's say an IT major, IT company says that I'm going to hire, say, 5,000 people this particular year, this financial year. So when they say 5,000 people, now for planning for 5,000 people to be hired at different levels, different locations, is not a joke. Is not a joke. And how to go about doing it? It's very nice to draw a timetable of who's going to be recruited when, who's going to be joining when, where, at what levels, at what expectations. All that is very nice to do. It's a back office work. That's very easy. You can even go along and set up the recruitment selection program, go to campuses, go to some manpower consultants, have it in-house in your own company. All that is possible. That's all very easy to do. You've got software support also for all that. But the most crucial thing is conducting the interview, A, doing the selection process, B, and then finally placing that person in the organization. When I say I want 5,000 people the next year, then for 5,000 people, I cannot be sure that they'll be joining the company. I may be interviewing them. They may show all the eagerness and the willingness to join, and there'll be what is popularly called as no-show. The person may not join. So when the no-show takes place, I suddenly realize all the efforts went waste. And that is a tricky part of this particular resource called manpower. So when I do a manpower planning, there's a lot of factors I need to put into account. And so we use mathematical models to ensure that our manpower planning doesn't fail majorly, doesn't go off the target. So these organizations, they have a lot of challenges in trying to hire the right people for the right job in their numbers. Because people may join, may not join. People may promise to come, they may not come. At the end of the day, they may use the very appointment letter which you issue as a negotiating instrument to go to another competitor and get a job there. And this being the nature of people, which you and I cannot do anything about, we have to learn how to manage this contingency, this type of a problem by doing a proper manpower planning. So long term we also have medium term and short term. So this is a separate science by itself if you look at it. You know, very specialized people are there who know how to do the manpower planning, and they do excellent juggling of figures and time and ensure that the right people are taken. But manpower planning is seen to be successful only when it is backed up by an equally effective recruitment selection process. For both these departments to be in line with each other's requirements, in the requirements of the company, they have to be backed up by the vision and the mission of the company. Everything has to come in one congruent line. Manpower planning will do their bit of it, their KRA as you call it. They'll say, we budgeted for 5,000 people, we have taken 5,000 and odd people, and we have done our job. So our job is taken care of. That doesn't work. Have they been able to be retained? Has the attrition increased or lowered? Are you sure you took the right person for the right job? These are all questions on which there are no answers. There are no answers. But then there are people in the world of HR who have been there for long number of time, and they have that business intuition, that intuition to say that yes, this person will join, this person will not join. They develop it over a period of time. Okay. So manpower planning is an art. It's something, it's about numbers at the back office, but in the front side, to ensure that those so many people join your company is a big, big, big challenge. It's a big question, right? And now we come to development part of it. It is concerned with the growth and the behavioral changes in line with the growth of their employees through adequate ongoing training programs. Now, when I say ongoing, means development is not one time. Development, we say. Development means it develops. So if you want to send a person who has got a potential to be a leader for a program, it is not that he goes for a 1 week program, residential course in some hills or something, and he comes back, he becomes a leader. No, he has to be monitored, because there are several facets of a person's behavior that needs to go through the transformation process. I would change my behavior for what is expected by you, provided I see a payoff. I see a payoff with respect to the price. Because my behavior today is working for me, I would not change it unless there's a strong reason to change. And my behavior may change or appear to change with maybe one or two trainings. But when I come back to my workplace, I may exhibit the old behavior again. It's like a rubber band effect. So when I am going through a development process, I am taken through an irreversible path of a new behavior. That's development. So if I am having all the potential of a leader, and then gradually I change my habits and behaviors to think like a leader, act like a leader, and I sustain doing that, and I produce results, then I can safely say that I have gone through a effective development. Till then, it is not a development. Many of us are using this word very loosely, and we say a person went for a developmental program to so and so place, to abroad, and they'll come back and they'll transform. Need not be all the time. When I have the spark in me, a willing spark that I need to develop with my meaningfulness, then the development takes place. The organization, the HR department, my concerned department acts as catalysts and support people. It's like saying you can take a horse to the water, you can't make it drink unless it's thirsty and willing, right? So fixing the employee standards involves fixing job specification and job description, two important parts of staffing. What is the job you're supposed to do? Job is comprising two parts, job holder and the job itself. I am taking this video session right now. The video session, the taking of the video session is an action, that's the job to be done. I may do it, somebody else may do it, but the job has to be done. Now, I am the job holder. I do this job my way, the way I'm putting the inputs to you. And some other faculty may do it his way or her way. So what should be done? Who should do it? What is the proper qualification? That's job specification. Job description means what is the job to be done? What exactly are you supposed to do? Description of the job minus the human element. When I put the human element to the job description, it becomes a job specification, right? Internal and external sources. It is concerned with the method by which the staff members are selected. So I could be selecting people from within the company, internal recruitment or selection, or I could be taking people from outside. Two different forms of recruitment process. Selection takes place later on, right? Now, placement. The placement includes giving a job to the person on the basis of his ability, education, experience, etc. Now, what is placement? Placement means the person has been selected and then he starts working in the organization. In some source I read, a very authentic source, which says that placement, a person is supposed to be, is said to be placed when he has spent one full day in the organization. I don't know how far it's true, but I just want to share with you. So placement means a person is in the organization and he starts working. When he starts working, then and only then we say he is placed. One of the technicalities of this particular word, right? But suffice it to say, placement means a person joins, he starts working. Many freshers, they get a placement through campus interviews. They don't join. That's not a placement, technically, from this point of view. Placement means a person is joining, and he's joining on the basis of his ability, education, experience, attitude, etc. Then comes training. Training comprises periodic upgradation of the skills and the competencies of the employees. Time to time, we keep on have to upgrading it. Why? Because every year, the company wants to make larger profits. If I want to make larger profits, my yesterday's behavior will not help me make the larger profits. I have to work harder. So to make me work harder, I have to go to a training program wherein they teach me skills and competencies which I need to develop. And hence, training is very important. Coordination, promotion and transfer, maintenance of the employees' records, rating of employees, motivation, etc. This is all about, you know, networking with people, ensuring that, you know, you're able to do a better job and go for transfers and promotions which you deserve for whatever competencies you have. It's about that process we're talking about here. And now here is a process in staffing. A certain type of a diagram is given, flowchart. Estimation of total number of staff members required by the company in various grades depending upon the size of the company and policy. Every company needs to have what is called as a selection policy, a staffing policy to begin with. In the staffing policy, we have a recruitment policy. We have a training policy. Now every action which we are taking needs to be backed up with a certain guidelines, in the absence of which things can go haywire. So that's very important. Selection of qualified applicants for filling the jobs by using standard procedure. Okay, what is the standard procedure? Standard procedure means we are going to be having a format which is given to you, which is called as an application blank. Okay, it comes to you the moment you get a call letter. You have to fill up that thing. That standard procedure is given, and there's a method of calling you. So first you may have a GD, a group discussion, then you may have a personal interview. You may have a panel interview. So there is a certain procedures that are set by the company. Then training and development for new staff members as well as existing employees for improving work efficiency, right? Then comes performance management, which is the assessment of the work performed by the staff members in an organization as per a standard. Performance management is the overall management of the existing performance and how to enhance it year after year for the company's benefit. Okay,